Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
British Kid Bookie is a raucous genre splicing standout charging at the front line of rock and metal's next wave of fresh faces. Accumulating his devout cult following from an unapologetic, transparent attitude paired with his rage-fueled new metal, trap metal blend, above all, his strive for raw artistic integrity will always be the beating heart that keeps his music thriving. In 2022, Kid Bookie released his EP, Mass Hysteria. Joined the UK leg of Cassette's Sad Girl Summer Tour, released the reimagining of the noughties hit Teenage Dirtbag with Wheatus, Bookie's Dirtbag. Kid Bookie was featured as one of 2023's most exciting artists to watch in 2023's By Alt Press. In September 2024, Kid Bookie released a brand new album called Songs for the Living, Songs for the Dead, a journey through life from beginning to end. He is one of the most talked about musicians in the rock and metal space right now. He is a two-time nominee for Best Alternative Act Mobo Award, was nominated at the 2024 Heavy Music Awards for Best Alternative Music Act, as well as Best Breakthrough Live Artist at 2024's HMAs. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Kid Bookie.
So where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I am in South fucking London, in a place called Woolwich, and okay. I'm okay, I think. Okay. I think okay. I'm all right.
Okay. You think you're okay? Where and why does the stage name Kid Bookie come from?
When I was younger, there was a person called Bookie. In the culture here, when I was younger, you'd be a younger of somebody. So I was kind of like the younger of this dude. Yeah, and I took the name and it just stuck with me. And now it's like my fucking name.
You referenced the name, but now let's rewind. At what age, whether you were a child or teenager, did you feel cool? You want to be in the creative world, creative space. And how did that journey progress to where we are today?
I still don't feel fucking cool. I still, you know what I'm saying? I don't even know what the metrics is, how to measure what cool is. But I know that when I was young, my dad and he played music and he had vinyls playing fucking Nirvana, then LL Cool J and all of this shit. That shit was beautiful. It was like an amalgamation of madness, and it just resonated with a motherfucker like me, you know?
You were inspired by all that music, so how did that transference happen from being inspired to the music to you creating yourself?
Funny enough, trying to be cool. That's when it happened, because everyone went to school, and then all the fucking dudes are spitting bars in the playground, and you just got a skateboard and shit. So you're like, these guys are cool. And everyone treats them right, and they get the girls. So I was like, I feel like an ugly piece of shit. So I want to get all the girls too. So you just kind of start. You're just young, and you just fucking start rapping. But I never liked rapping when I was younger. I started from being in a little punk rock band, doing like fucking crazy shit songs. And then you just learn how to start rapping. And then you get older, and you fuse them together, and all of a sudden, here I am talking to you from South Africa.
You referenced the music. So you said you started in a sort of a punk band. So when did the shift happen to realize, okay, well, I actually want to now do rapping? How did that shift happen?
Just because of the environment you're in.
Okay.
No one's really listening to the same music you are. So you kind of just put that in a little box because, you know, you need to fit in. And you know that if I start rapping, then I'll have a chance to survive in this little food chain ecosystem. So I learn it, you know, you learn the nuances of it. And then you start to enjoy it. You start to learn the science of it and what the fuck happens in it and how you can apply it to your shit going forward. And, you know, until it becomes like symbiotic with your process. Now you know the nuances, you know, the specialties of being able to apply this shit to that shit. And then you've just got all of your influences in one massive bowl. And here you are fucking making music with the legends of the music shit, just fucking going crazy.
Okay, so I know this is the path that you've been went on. Do you feel or think, and I don't know if this is an answer you can answer, it might be a rhetorical question, Do you think that if your contemporaries or your peers were listening to the same music that you were listening to, that you would have stayed in that genre?
No, because I did have that. I did have peers that listened to what I did because I grew up from that place. But I think when you go to school, you know, you have like different culture clashes of where people come from and what they listen to or what groups of people are listening to. Because the groups I was in school wasn't really listening to what I was listening to at all. Nowhere near, nothing. It was just grime, some American rap and some other shit. So I wasn't, it was just very isolated. But you're also like a young man on a journey trying to find out who the fuck you are. So you need to just, you just take until it gets to a point where you need to remove and remove and remove, because everything you've taken has sometimes taken you away from the authenticity that served you when you were younger. And sometimes you have to go back to the most purest form and version of who you are to become the most authentic version of who you are later on in life, you know?
Ah, I love that. That's so beautifully put. Let's rewind from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song or a piece of music. What motivates it? What invigorates it? Is it easy every time? Let's unpack your creative brain.
It's easy when you enjoy it. When it starts to feel like a chore because you have to create, then you don't enjoy it. And I feel like I went through that for quite a while. I feel like I lost the edge that I had. I stopped having my ear to the streets. I stopped even being around the streets, you know, and everything begins at street level and you kind of get glossed up and you're thrown through the corporate machine and you turn into this, hey, look at me. I'm trying to get a top fucking 10, you know? And it's like, that's not what I came into music for. It was great. It's enjoying. And yeah, these are things that I hold to my heart, but fuck me, have they destroyed the actual fucking character and the beauty of having no fucks to give. You know what I'm saying? And that was what I enjoyed, what I did. Because there was no fucks to give because I didn't give a fuck anyway. So why the fuck did I care about what? And I carried that attitude and that nature for a long time and it served me well. And then you face a lot of pressure. You have to hit targets and music. And then it's like, it's not fun. This is a job now. It's always a job. But when it starts to feel more of a job than fun, fuck am I doing? I like to, I leave jobs that I don't like. It's very important to remember who the fuck you are, because sometimes you will lose the perspective of who you are and you won't even know it, because everyone seems like it's getting better. It might be getting better, but when you start to lose the edge and the sword that was your backbone of your mantra, your character, the allure that you fucking carry, it's hard to go back. You lose a lot of things, and loss will make you realize who the fuck you have turned into and who you need to be.
Okay.
And I'm in that rebuilding stage of finding out everything about what I need to remove and how I need to be, and just tapping back into the most primal, cerebral, ruthless motherfucker I was that has served me well and serves me well, you know?
Okay, so you referenced this earlier that your family used to play vinyl. So I love me a CD. I love the aesthetic of holding something, the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the listening from song one to whatever number, still budget for them every month. For me, it's an energy exchange to you guys for all the hard work that you put in creating that body of work. I'm not sure if you're aware that vinyls, even cassettes and CDs, are a massive comeback. Vinyls last year, 5.9 million sales in the UK, the biggest since 1990.
I saw that.
There's a basket of goods in the UK where they gauge exchanges, like on the ground roots level in the shops, to gauge for tax purposes. And now because of the upsurge of CDs, those are back in the basket. And the research is showing that it's the younger people, the teenagers and the early 20s are diving into this physical world. But then we also have these streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
I think streaming, it's like everything, you know, you can own stuff. I think your ownership is important. Like streaming is basically just renting your music for however long you have a subscription for, you know, you're just a subscription. And also casual, you know, there's new ways of consuming. Like people will just play stuff in the background whilst they're getting ready to go out. So you might have a spike on a Thursday to Saturday because people are putting you on a playlist. They're not taking you in.
Yes.
You know, music's put into this like consumable microwave type shit where it's just like eat it for the moment and then go out and consume as much as you can, but without even giving a shit what you're eating. You know, and I'm quite archaic in that type of way. I you know, And I love music. I loved the things that got me into music, and I loved what being away in music can bring you to being. And it's very important that you kind of have to take a stand. Like, you can't, I think we just go through changes without even questioning them. We just adapt. Oh, this is happening. And taking a stand, it takes energy to take a stand. But if no one knows what they're really taking a stand for, then how do you begin? Because at the top level, you know, yeah, you had Taylor Swift, who removed all the shit from Spotify, then redid the albums and the masters for her, et cetera, et cetera. But then at this level, people, you know, rely on being visual, not visual, but seen.
Yes.
And that can be playlists on Spotify. That can be, you know, all of this type of shit. So it's hard. You know, they've squeezed out the money from it. You know, how do you, even an artist at my level, you know, I'm a multi-award nominated artist that's on your TV, on your radio, with works of the biggest fucking artists in the world. But yeah, of course I'm signed and shit, so the way I handle fees and stuff is different. But, you know, I'm still having to sometimes struggle to find out how to get the check at the end of the month, you know? Capitalism has destroyed the way we consume music, because it doesn't seem as personal as it used to be. It's all about trend, metric, and people sell dreams. Like, people are just people, like, and people, I don't know, everything's a dream seller. People think they're going to go there or here and change their life doing this, that, and the other with people that are selling them dreams, because we all want a hook to buy on. Hope is apparent, and everyone needs hope. But you have to be smart, because that person selling you hope is probably trying to hope from something else too. And it's just a mismatch. You've got to be very sincere, brave. You've got to be strong. And you've got to know that, you know, all this is in representation to streaming, et cetera. But it's like dream sellers, and streaming is a dream seller too. People yearn to get that million streams that they've got one time, and then all of a sudden the next song is doing 80,000 streams, and you're wondering what the mix-up is.
Yeah.
It's all a fuck. This is not in our control anymore, you know, how visible we are.
And it's also interesting you say that, because I speak to a lot of fans, you know, people who enjoy music, but they might be observers, they might be consumers, they might be on the periphery. They maybe go to a concert every now and then, they maybe listen to the radio, they maybe stream stuff. But there's a lot of lack of education, because everyone, I tell them that the amount of money that you guys get for 100 million streams is like $1,000. And they're like, what? They under the perception that you guys are making so much money from the streams, and they're so shocked and horrified to hear that's not the case. So there's a massive education piece that needs to be told. And I think it's happening now. Like, I saw the clips of Snoop Dogg and a whole bunch of others saying it's not great what's happening, you know? So I'm completely with you on the same page. It just needs to be balance of energy and balance of payments and balance of knowledge, I think, in the industry.
Yeah, knowledge is important. And I think because everyone's so indulged in the rat race of trying to be successful, that educating yourself on how the industry has changed and where you fit in the industry as a module is very important. And I just pray that people just are not stupid enough to be sold ideas and dreams from people that have nothing to offer them other than just a manipulation and a dream of, I can do this for you. Because no one can do anything for you. You can do what you can do is aid someone else to help you, and you do the rest. But no one's saving you. No one is going to change your life. You are. And you got to stay away from lust. You've got to stay away from, you know, just dream sellers. Like, I have been sold so many dreams. I've, like, even not even lusting in a sexual way sometimes, but lusting after the dream of what you can be sold and how desperate you can be. And desperation, in a way, has ruined my life, because, you know, when you are so desperate for change, you will do anything, and you'll change who you are. You'll change what you're doing. You'll change your environments, and to the point you stand on top of your hill and you're unrecognizable to your fucking self. And it's a very hard reality to grasp that you have pushed a lot of people, things and stuff away for chasing this fucking untangible dream that doesn't actually have the outcome you might think is going to have. In a way, it's kind of beautifully poetic, because you are chasing a dream in the dark. You are the light source to find the fucking end of it. So, and that's why I say you are the one who will help yourself, and you will save yourself. and the echoes of the void of people saying this, that, and the other, selling you this or handing that. Take what you can, but know exactly what you're taking, because there's repercussions for every hand you touch, you know?
Exactly. I love this discussion. So now, what do you enjoy about performing live?
Purging my spirit, purging the energy that I've contained throughout the whole day that I'm going to allow to be put out in a 30 to 60 minute segment. It's a good place for people to see you in your element. It's a good place for you to show people what you are beyond just the sounds that they've listened to. And it's important to captivate, change the world bit by bit by just putting enough ethos out there enough that people start to add it to their daily mantras. And now all of a sudden you've got an army of motherfuckers that are thinking in a similar linear way to you. And that's how you change the world, by sprinkling little bits of your mantra, your ethos, your ethics into a whole bunch of people that will, whether if there's 10,000 in a crowd, if 1,000 people take away the lessons of the night, and you do that night after night, then you've got a million strong army in a year. That's the importance of being an authentic artist. You can be beautiful, you can be ugly, you can be great, you can be shit. But as long as you are for the people, because the people is an equal exchange, is a brick for brick exchange with the people. Exactly. You know, you're going to change my life and I'm going to change yours. So let's be authentic with each other at this place here. And we'll give you my brick and you give me your brick. And then we keep building these bricks until we've got a massive fucking house that we all live in, until the day we all decide to hang the rope up and just leave this little legacy for the fucking zeitgeist. And you look back and you've realized, you know, whatever.
Okay, so I'm that dude that's normally right up in front. I'm dancing, I'm jamming. I'll take my cell phone up for maybe one or two pictures, one or two videos, and I put it away. I notice a lot of people around me these days have their cell phones out for a lot of time. They're filming, they're posting, they're tweeting, they're doing what they're doing. And you reference this energy exchange and this being seen and this brick for brick. Do you feel that element of it takes away from that, or it's just where society is at the moment?
It's just where society is. You can't tarnish everyone with the same stick, because some people are looking at that, filming that concert because it means so much to them and they want to view it for the rest of their life. Okay. They want to see that. They want to remember that. They want to use this, you know, let's look at this scent, for example, as a memory curator to get to remember and feel and experience that time. So I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it at all. Like, first and foremost, it does not affect me. I'm tall. I can see over your phone, and your phone doesn't be fucking, doesn't matter anyway. Like, enjoy your time.
Okay.
Like, I've never given a fuck about what people do unless it's affecting me or unless it's an actually stupid. You know, I care a lot. I've got a massive heart. I'm a massive lover. You know, you learn these things anyway, you know, but give people the time to enjoy, because when you want to enjoy, if someone's not letting you enjoy, you'll know what it feels like too. So,
okay.
Let people enjoy things. And if filming a concert affects you, I don't think you should be in a concert anywhere.
Understood. You referenced that you're building yourself back up to your authentic self. How are you doing that? It's just a step by step of being in the moment, being true to yourself, or are there other practices you're putting into play?
It's remembering, it's going back in time and looking at you and remembering what brain synapses were firing off at that time to feel the way you did. And a lot of it, again, comes from the innocence of just doing and trying. Sometimes you put a lot of pressure and you beat yourself up when you listen to this person, when, you know, this is a cruel place, like, you know, especially if you're trying to navigate it with friends, family, relationships, or whatever, like, and you have to try to put yourself as number one because you don't have anything. It's so fucking hard. You know, I want to have everything. I want to have all the accolades I can so I can help my people. But before you get there, you still have to remember that you have your people around you. And you it's so hard to lift up your head and see the damage that you cause and inflict by chasing this fucking stupid dream. And again, like, you get to a point when you're like, holy fuck, what the fuck has happened to my life and what's happened to me? But you have to remember, before you got there was a time when that wasn't happening, and you was loved, and you was going forward with loads of people, and you was this and the other. So it's not always you. It's not always you. People have a reaction to you sometimes, the way whatever you do. And, you know, things are very complex. Like, humans are the most complex people on the planet, yourself included, myself included. And you just have to tap back into those memories and those actions and those thoughts and those it's fearlessness. It's like knowing that you're not trying to be malicious to anyone. You're not trying to hurt anyone, but you have to remember on the business you stand on. And the business you stand on is what brought you here in the first place. So now when you're here and you're not really standing on the business you should stand in because you're letting other people tell you what the business is that you should stand on, you lose your edge. You lose things. You start to doubt the things you do. You stop making videos the way you did. You stop talking to people the way you done. You do so much. And that's, like I said, I'm like stripping that venom from me again. I'm taking all of this shit that I've done and I felt like I've been changed into, and trauma has fucking changed my brain. Like, I'm going back. I've got to take ownership. Like, I loved me, because when I loved me back then, loads of people loved me and I felt unstoppable and powerful. Now I'm now beginning to feel like that. I have to feel powerful again, and I'm feeling powerful. I'm feeling like, okay, you just got to remember who the fuck you were, man. Like, the same person that used to turn up and do this, you got to be that. You can't, you know, I'm very emotionally led because I feel everything. I'm hugely empathetic and I care so much. And sometimes it's misconstrued. Sometimes it doesn't come out the way I want it to do. And then I want it to be so big, but I can't. So I've got to go back to this place. I'm at rock bottom. I've got to start from the bottom and just be humble enough to know that no matter what I've done, the accolades I have, the things I do, that I can do this all again and do it better. And that is where I'm at. I know what I do. I've been making music again that it's not about commercial value. It's not about impressing this one. It's like my ears to the fucking streets. I'm talking my shit again. I don't give a fuck to offend this person. I don't give a fuck to be worrying about what this person thinks of me. I never cared in the first place. So why the fuck am I caring so much now?
Yeah.
And all the first and foremost, more people like me now than ever. I used to have way more enemies. Now the only enemies I have are people that were my friends. So clearly I need less friends and more enemies, because your enemies turn into your friends anyway.
Yes.
So some shit's fucked up, some down the line, and it's because I lost my spine. I lost my fucking spine. I'm playing a little bitch who just wants to appease. There's a little puppeteer just making sure I stand at the award shows and smile because I'm desperate for fucking change. Little bitch shit. I'm not a fucking bitch and I don't want to be that again.
I like the inspiration and energy you're giving. So now, tell us about what's your latest body of work and what's coming up for the rest of the year, next year.
I've made new music that reflects how I am. It's not about it's not about self-loathing. It's not about fucking heartbreak. It's not about, oh, listen to me, I'm in so much fucking pain. Oh God, everyone relate to what we're going through. It's like, what the fuck? That's never been me anyway. Like, I write my shit. And you know, it's nice to have that experience, but it was just for ego. It was just for trying to make people happy. It was just trying to show people that, oh, I'm not this thing. I like running away from who I actually am because I want to be other things in people's eyes. But the people that know me the best are seeing the person that they know can be better, and I'm running away from it. It's confusing to them.
Yeah.
It's confusing to me. So I've been in the studio. I've been writing my shit. I've got a song here that when I put this song out, I am getting in trouble, but I love it. Because I haven't been naughty in a long time. I haven't been in trouble. I've just been a good fucking boy, but a good boy for the people. Good boy for things that's corporate shit, not for the things around me, not for what's going to change my life and my people's lives and shit like that. And I've got to be brave again. And being brave again means making way more enemies than I ever fucking had. So I am there. I don't care. I care so much to the point it seems like I don't care, but because I care so much, you got to throw a grenade in a fucking room and blow that shit up and not say sorry. And I'm right there. I've got a whole bag full of grenades and I'm ready to bomb everything, you know?
And also, you know, it's so true, because these days there's this whole thing of like authentic honesty, but also with compassion. And if you say something that might offend someone, then all of a sudden, oh, we need to cancel this person because we don't like the way he said it or what they said. And this whole cancel culture is just ridiculous, because no one learns from
cancel culture is for people that feel so voiceless and unpowerful that having a conglomerate batch all rally together to bring somebody down gives them the biggest boner or wettest clit they can ever imagine. And I think it's disgusting. There are people that deserve to be pulled down from the pedestals they are, but there are people where you can just do the, I don't know what you could do. You could just do something and all of a sudden people have a rally cry and think they determine what your the rest of your life looks like. That sociopathic madness. That is absolute nasty. It's disgusting. So, first of all, who's cancelling who for what? What is the fucking parameters for who cancels what? If you're out here raping fucking animals, kids, women, men, whatever, then bring someone down from the pedestal they are. Fuck their whole life up into the ways you can't imagine. But if it's because you don't agree or like something that doesn't sit with your morals, then you need to get the fuck outside and touch grass, you stupid prick. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. People try to cancel me for some shit that I've fucking done. I don't even, like you could, I could have just said the wrong thing at the wrong place, and all of a sudden I'd be holding on my head forever. Doesn't even have a reflection of who I am. Don't even know what it is. You know what I mean? Like, fuck you. I don't give a fuck about that. Don't cancel yourself, you little prick. I don't care about that shit.
I'm so inspired by your voice and your words. So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Avoid an unnatural death if you can. Say you love people as much as you can, because there's going to be a day they will never, it just doesn't matter, and you won't ever get to say it again. Be proud of your works. Be honest to yourself. Be true to you. Do not worry too much, because worrying is a world that doesn't exist and you create it. Walk straight into fear, and if you're scared, do it with fear, and just try and be as, not even just, don't, it's not about happiness, just try and be the most content version of you. Everything changes, everything dies, but everything grows within death. So if you've got to kill off things, if you've got to kill stuff, just fucking do it and be brave, because there's not a lot of brave people anymore, and brave is a spectrum, and if you can find out where you lie on the spectrum of brave, then fucking do, you know.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.